Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my soul, my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Imagine what this is like us when we feel so lost. We feel like we've been cast out of God's sight. But he understood this thing, that he was still alive. Amen. He was still able to pray. And as long as he was able to pray, he had a chance for God to what? Hear him. Amen. Just like us every day. He said, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. You might not be cast into the sea, but whatever problem you have, you might feel like it's midnight. Amen. Can I get an amen? Yes, you do. I know. And then he said, the water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I imagine they were. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, listen to this line. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Hallelujah. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Hallelujah. When we think we can, when you think all your problems and you think that you can, we have no need for God then. Amen. If you think you can solve all your problems, you don't need God. Amen. When you think you can fix all your problems, you don't need God. Right, Sergio? What would you need? How, and I use this word, I couldn't think, how insane is that? Amen? How crazy is that, that we would think that we could solve all our problems and we don't need God to help us? Amen? All the things you've all been through and you think, well, I don't need anything, I don't need God. How dangerous is that? And this is the point, Pat, not only for you, but for everybody that you love, for your children and your grandchildren and your friends. If you don't talk to them about God, you don't teach them about God, you don't tell them what God can do, how dangerous is that? Not only for you, but for those that you profess to love the most. Amen? We have to understand that this story about Jonah is a story about all of us. All of us in this church today. We all need God. Amen? We all need his teachings. We all need his blessings. Because we all have things we're going through. Anybody have nothing they're going through today? Everybody have a perfect life today? Except for Gene. I mean, Elvis sang to her last night. Turning to God. Turning to God isn't just for you. Hallelujah. Turning to God is for those that you love and cherish the most. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's where Jonah in the belly of the fish all of a sudden becomes your story, Bernie. Because you were in the belly of the fish. Amen? You were sickness that you were going through. You were in the belly of that fish. But you didn't stop. Even when doctors said they didn't know, you didn't stop. You kept calling on God. And because you could call on God, he gave you the comfort that the world wouldn't understand. He gave you a family that the world wouldn't understand. And here you sit this morning. You still got such things we all go through. Amen, brother? Nothing's perfect. But here you sit this morning with a chance that today could be the greatest day of your life. Amen? And that's where we all sit today. I want to do one more. Can I do one more, please? Thank you. Hallelujah. I got to do this. Is anybody know who Balaam is? Balaam is in the Bible. Hey, well, yes, right. Balaam's donkey. That's what we're going to get to that. Balaam was a prophet. Amen. And what is a prophet? A man who hears from God. Amen. So Balaam knew God. How many of you all know God? All right. And here's Balaam. Now, he was a prophet. And the Bible says he was a sorcerer too. I don't want to get into that. But here was Balaam. Now this, you're going to say, oh, I know somebody like that. Or I've seen. Balaam was ready to obey God as long as there was something in it for him. Amen. Outwardly for God, inside for wealth and for gain. I'm sorry, but there's people like that. To Balaam, obedience equaled profit. Amen. effort spent on trying to keep up appearances is time-consuming and tiring all the same time. Amen. Not what we look like on the outside, because our mothers and fathers helped us be who we are. But the appearance, amen, acting like our attitudes were Christian-like, amen, acting like our words are important, acting like our actions are Christian-like, amen, trying to be false with that, talking about God but not living like God, amen, saying that you're a Christian but not living as a Christian, amen. You see a lot of that. You see people going to church every day but not getting into this word, amen. This is what changes your life, amen. Not the preacher, not the church. The Bible says that every word that proceeds from the God, right here, this is life-changing, the Bible, amen. Amen. So that's why you come, and that's why I want to preach it and give you Balaam. Balaam was ready to receive, obey God as long as there was something in it for him. It says, then he sent messengers. Now the king, Balak was the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at the time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam. Who sent it to who? Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor, which is near the river, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him and say, and he said, now the king said, look, Balaam. Listen to this. A people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too many for me to fight, too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. Listen to what he says to Balaam. Amen. Listen. For I know that he whom you blessed is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Amen. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with a diviner's fee in their hand. They're bringing money. Amen. They're bringing money to who? Balaam. And they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to him, lodge. And Balaam said to him, listen to what he said. Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. They brought him stuff, amen. They brought him a fee. They brought him money to do what they asked him to do. Can I get an amen? So Balaam is a prophet, and who's he go to? Who's he go to? He goes to God to find out should he go then, amen. So Balaam said to God, Lord, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me to say, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. Now listen to what God says, 22:12 Numbers. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall what? You shall not curse the people. You shall what? Not curse the people, for they are blessed. Who told Balaam that? God. Who did he go to? God. What was he supposed to do? Go to God. God told him what? You shall not go with them. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the prince of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak, saying, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak sent again princes, more numerous and more honorable than they. Imagine what the king is doing now. He's sending people higher up with more pretty robes and more headwear and more beautiful horses. And he's come, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do, listen to what he says, I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me. If you had talked to God yesterday, and God told you not to do something, how many would you go back the next day and say, hey God, can I do this? How many would do that? But what was, Fred would, oh Lord. Tough church again here. But what was the king offering Balaam? More money. More wealth. He said, I would do, let me, don't take my word for it. Let me tell you what it said here. Hallelujah. I will do whatever you say to me, I will do. So what is Balaam? He's a prophet. He knows God. He went to God yesterday. God said what? Don't go. So Balaam didn't go, right? Yeah, Lord, Christians. Then Balaam answered and said this to the servant of Balak. Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the words of the Lord my God to do less or more. Well, good. That's good. Leave it right there. No. Now, therefore, please you also stay here tonight that I may know more what the Lord will say to me. Did the Lord make a mistake yesterday? When he tells us not to do things, did he make a mistake? When he tells us things are bad for our lives, did he make a mistake yesterday? Somehow he was wrong? Because he told them what yesterday? Don't do it. So he goes back today. Why? Because they said, we're going to give you whatever you want. Well, he's thinking, I could have a big white church. I could have the biggest church with lights and shiny things. All I have to do is forgo God and make this a place where everybody can come and have a party and sing. And then it's not what God wanted. Amen. It's not what he called us to do. And in your life, the same way. Hallelujah. He went. He said, he should have just, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond what the words of the Lord my God to do less or more. That's where it should have stopped right there. Nope. But he's going to give me whatever I want. Therefore, please, you stay here tonight. I'm going to go back and talk to God. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come and call you, rise and go with them, but only the words which I speak to you, that you shall do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes to Moab. Understand that God didn't change his mind, amen? God did not change his mind at all. What God said, you only say what I'm going to tell you to say, and it's not going to be what the king wants, amen? God knew that, amen? But God did not relent and say, okay, go and get your things, because he's not going to do that. Hallelujah. He didn't relent. God told him not to go, amen? Then God's anger was aroused because he went. You see, well, God told him to go. He said, no, God told him not to go. He came back, and God knew his heart. God knew that he was hungry for something else, that there was profit in it for him. And he knew what he was doing. So God opened the door and told him to go, but he did not. It said, God's anger was aroused because he went. And listen to this. This is where we come in. This is where this book comes in. The angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Imagine that. And as he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. Picture that. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey and what you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the words that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with them, with the princes of Balak. Balaam had a what? a new attitude, amen? He had a whole different attitude now, amen? He saw what happened, and his whole world changed. Can I get an amen? Many times in our lives we forget that, we don't see that. Well, let me tell you this. By looking in the mirror every day, when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror every day, you want to see goodness, right? You want to see good, kindness, compassion, love, and the Spirit of God looking back at you. How many of you understand what I'm saying? When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, you look at that face looking back, you want to see good. You want to see kindness. You want to see compassion and love and the Spirit of God looking back at us. Amen? And when you do that, when you look at that and see that, you want that, that changes what we say to others. Can I get an amen? It changes how we criticize others. It changes how we correct others and how we judge those around us. Because we're looking in the mirror at that person and we want that person to be godlike. Amen. We want that person to be kind. Amen. We want that person to be loving. We want that person looking back at us to be somebody that everybody would love to be around. Amen. So when we feel that way, we can no longer criticize and judge our family and our neighbors. Amen. We have to rise up. We have to be that person. Can I get an amen? How we judge those. Now listen, I'm going to close now. Thank you. We may not have a donkey today. You might not have a donkey to sit on today that's going to take you to the left and the right, keep you safe. Amen? But we do have something right here. We have the book. We have God's Word. Can I get an amen? This book, guess what it does? It turns us back from the left, and it turns us back from the right. Amen? It stops us in our tracks, just like the donkey. Amen? Balaam had to have the donkey. We have the Word of God. When you're doing something that's not quite right, this book will bring you back. When you're doing things that aren't along God's Word, this book will bring you back. Sometimes this book will stop you in your tracks before you do another thing. We have God's Word. Amen? And I will tell you this, God is watching out for all of us. Amen? And those people in the Bible are no different than we are. Those are Old Testament. People say, oh, there's nothing in the Old Testament. It's old stuff. Balaam and Jonah were just like we are. Amen? Obstinate, prideful, spiteful, angry at God, feeling alone. But they were just like, and that's where this book shows us. That God has the answers. God saved them. God leads them. Amen. God lifts them up. This is our place where we don't have to turn to the left and right. This word changes your lives. Amen. And I pray that you receive this message today, because this message could make you feel different later when you see somebody you didn't care about and you start praying for them because you want them to receive what you had. Amen. And you start to humble yourself and somebody lifts you up. You say, hey, God's Word really works. When you're kind to somebody you weren't kind to and something good happens, you say, hey, God's Word really works. When you call somebody you haven't called in a while and say, hey, I miss you, I love you, God's Word really works. Amen. When you allow God's Word to work, amen, it raises everybody up. The person you're talking to and yourself. Give them praise, church. That's the power of this book. We've said that October is Call a Friend to Church Week. We're going to continue that message because each and every one of you can make this church greater by just calling one person this week, inviting them to church. Don't be afraid. Reach out to people you haven't spoken to, especially family and friends. They might not even receive the phone call the way you want them to. They might not even hear you, but you planted a seed and they have to hang up and say, you know, that was kind of crazy, but they invited me to church. What were they thinking? And they might wake up and say, they were thinking that they loved me enough to want them here, to heal hearts, heal lives. Pray for your children. Praying for your friends sometimes isn't enough. You need to reach out in faith, inviting them. That's the works of your faith. Don't be afraid. Let's all do that. We can do things together to make this church everything that we've all prayed it and believed it to be. He doesn't need our help, but he wants to see our energy. He wants to see our faith in action. I believe God will answer either way. But let's show him that this is a church on fire for him, for his word, for our victory. Give him praise, church. It is, and you know when I tell you, when I say to you, call somebody to come to church, I know you all know who you want to call. I know that. I know that you do. I know you have family that you want and you're afraid to call. I'm telling you to reach out in faith. Do it today. Husbands, support your wives. Wives, support your husbands. Support them. Don't say that's not a good idea. Say that's a God idea. Amen. Because I know every time I say that, each and every one of you have somebody in your head say, I'd really like to have this person come to church. Call them up. Give them the chance, amen? And if it's somebody that you're having a problem with, don't be like Jonah. Say, I want them to receive the same blessings I'm receiving, so let me bring them to church. Even if they sit next to me and I can't stand them for this, that, or the other, maybe God will fix both of us. Because you go back and look in the mirror again and say, wait a minute, I got some problems. I don't have time to worry about that. So trust God with that, because that's how we tried advertising. David tried sending letters out, and God showed me one day, said, you got people in church. Ask them to call somebody. David brought two people here last week, and just because they're not here today, wasn't that a victory? It was a huge victory, amen, for David's spirit, for us, and we know that they'll come back, amen. If we feed them the right words, they'll be hungry, and they will come back. Can I get an amen?